Yesterday you said, right, regarding people being scared with mask and the virus and all. So I was just looking in the academy regarding if we had any detailed virus course, like how do they actually work. I did find like not specific to coronavirus, but just like how, because there is so much information on the other side, right, that is not based on any science according to them. Like this, they even have on their paper saying that the mask that we were people wear won't work in control environment, but people, they recommend people wearing it. I've heard so many people, like all the governors saying now that, oh, because of wearing the mask, the infection rate has gone down. So just kind of like looking into the to see if there were any course related to how, because I did see it online, the other videos where there is detailed discussion on how actually the virus work, what is actually a dead virus, what do you mean by live virus, what is inactive versus active, what happens to a virus when it's on a surface, or when it's humid, when it's rainy, when it's hot outside. So
Yeah, you
just
know what? That is such a good idea, I think. I think that would be really, really helpful. Let me see what I can do. I can see if I know Dr. Bergman loves studying this kind of stuff, and let me see if he is able and interested to do a course on that. Or we're also working on getting courses from other health experts inside, because I have a lot of relationships with people as a radio show host. So we're looking at doing that too. So that could be a really good idea, because like you said, what you hear on the other side is just a bunch of it's not true, you know, and yet they keep telling us to wear masks and
yeah,
things.
and it's not true according to them. So, but they keep saying it.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. That would be great, because we know that this sort of viral infection is going to be something, I think, ongoing. So,
Yeah, I mean, everybody gets viral infection once in every year, right? Once or twice. And so they would not like how most of the videos right now, because of this current situation, are like how this specific virus works, right? But it is not different than how any virus work. It's the same, like,
Same mechanism. Yeah.
right? Like, what do you, when they say like they are, what the virus will be alive for on like plastic or metal surface for 8 hours, mean, right? Virus, I mean, is it that after 8 hours it's not going to be like active or what?
Yeah, no, that's a great, really great idea. I think that would be super, super helpful for people to understand virology a little bit.
Because whatever I have heard or listened to the videos, they say that the viruses are inactive, right? They produce with your cells, right? And suppose if you sneeze, it'll be in your droplets or in on a metal surface. And after it, at certain point, like they stop replicating because there is no cell left, like live cell, like your saliva cells, whatever, right? But then what happens after that? It'll still be inactive. Like if suppose I touch that surface and put it in my mouth, it's again gonna go and replicate. It's not gonna, unless it's like treated with high heat. And so right now, that's what I feel like everywhere, it's that, oh, you know, don't touch it for 8 hours or do like that. But it's not true, right? Even if I touch the surface after 8 hours, it will still be there. It's not going to be like magically disappeared.
Yeah, and viral infections are like there's so many different angles to all this stuff too, because you could have in this course, Dr. Bergman might really like to do a course like this actually, because you can start seeing how you could talk about why the conventional medicines don't work. That's a whole section. Then you can talk about natural substances that do work. What is a virus? What is virology? And then what are we being told from the media versus what's actually true, and show studies supporting our side, and you know, like, so there could be a lot of good information on this course.
Because there are like a lot of virologist online videos right now, just after this, and they do Google about how do they work, uh-huh. but it's specific to only this one, whatever study, and then they talk about how remdesivir will work, or how like the other one, that malaria drug. Name, how it's that's gonna work, and so, and they talk about zinc, how that zinc is gonna work. Mm-hmm. I think remdesivir was that zinc. So we don't have anything counter to that, right? We don't have like how your normal supplement might work, or how your going out in the sun might work.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too, because like. Well, I did a whole video with 26 different substances that's in the academy now that kills viruses, including the coronavirus. That's under one of my latest Q&A with Jay sessions. And I showed the studies, and I showed the actual articles and the evidence showing that. But that would be a monumental course. That would be really, really cool, I think, to talk about what viruses what they do, what their purpose is, the history of virology. I mean, that would be, I would think that would be a fun course. I think Dr. Bergman might be up for that.
That will be interesting, because I mean, there are other side, they do even go into really detailed version of how it goes, like how it goes, attaches to the protein on the cell, and yeah. then goes inside, and how does that RNA replicates, RNA works,
uh-huh.
and then how it basically left, and then how the cell behaves, how it produces the that it produces
the exosome and all of that.
Yeah. Glutathione.
Glutathione. Yeah. Glutathione, yeah. Yeah, that's really cool, because we did a whole show with Morley Robbins all about the immune system and copper, and how the immune system runs on copper, and how copper allows your body to get on top of viruses. And he talked about the connection between the two, but that is like, you know, because Morley is like, you know, all we've been hearing is coronavirus for 3 months, you know? And so he was kind of burned out about it. And so he wanted to say, let's talk about building an immune system where these viruses can't attach to the cells and can't replicate, you know? And so that's why we talked about copper in the immune system, because he was burnt out on the coronavirus like everybody else is, you know? So that's a good video in terms of like building immunity through proper mineralization. But I'm with you. I think a really cool understanding of how all of this stuff works, because like I could go into a store, like yesterday I went into a store, a hardware store, and everybody was wearing masks. And at the sign at the front, encourage you to wear a mask. And if someone ever said something to me, I have a handful of things that I know, but it would be good to see a visual, you know, and to really know the research and the studies, and you know what I mean?
I think the Dr. Bergman did talk about virus in one of the recent videos, not virus, the mask in uh-huh. one of the videos.
Okay.
I mean, he did refer to the WHO paper on it.
Right.
Told that it does not, they say that it does not work.
Yeah.
But they still recommend it.
Right.
Because there's, I mean, they said there is like, I think in, they if you even have a beard and you wear a mask, N95, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but they still recommend it.
Yeah. And so it's weird going out there talking to people who don't know this stuff, you know, like Dr. Fauci said himself that, you know, it's not healthy for a healthy person to wear a mask. The CDC website says it itself, that like you just said, the WHO says the same thing. But if the news anchor says it, then everyone's going to do it and think you're crazy if you don't do it. I got some weird looks yesterday too. People looking at me like I'm endangering their lives, you know.
I went to the hardware store this morning, actually, and uh-huh. I didn't wear anything. It was at Home Depot, and I didn't wear anything.
Yeah.
I think they were fine. All the employees were wearing it.
You know, I was telling my wife last night, like, her and I were having a conversation, and we're just talking about how, like, I don't like where this is going, because, like, for me, it's removing a little bit of hope. Because before all of this, I would go into a place like Home Depot, and I would wonder, does this person, are they, like, you know, do they have an awakened mind? Do they know what's really going on in the world? And, you know, all this kind of stuff. And, like, you kind of are in that in-between stage. You kind of say, oh, maybe he is or she is, and you kind of hope that they are. But then when I look at people wearing masks, it takes all of the guesswork away. And I know how much media someone is consuming, and I know how much fear they have in their life based on the masks that they're wearing. And it's disheartening, because I don't want to live in a world where there's so many people just believing the media, you know what I mean?
But then that's because everybody is, I mean, because it's everywhere in the media. I mean, I can't blame them. It's like everywhere in the media, right?
Right, right.
I mean, there is, like, some stores are not allowing you to go inside if you don't.
I know.
So, like, what do you do?
Right. I know. It's challenging, right?
So it's like you can't tell each and every person that, you know, they don't right. work. I mean, the thing is that it's just because, as is the saying goes, that truth will set you free.
Exactly.
Right. So if you don't know how it works, or how what the reality is, you'll be in fear, obviously, right? Suppose it was if you just take your family, right, and you think about that, suppose it was you discovered something that's going to harm you, and you don't know how it's going to work. So you're going to do whatever anybody says, do this, do that, right? If a person is sick, right, and they have been to everybody, then after a while, they start doing everything, whatever a person says, because it's like something is going to work, right?
Right.
And so if the media is saying, you know, wearing mask, governor is saying wearing mask, that's how everything, all like the infections went down. People were like, you know,
yeah,
you should wear masks. So.
It's a real, for me, it's a real growth time too, because you don't want to judge people, and you don't want to, but you want to give people grace to be able to get through this. And you want to, grow spiritually as a result of looking at them and saying, you know what, for me, that was me 10 years ago. And that, right. You know, and I don't blame them for that. I don't look down upon them for that. I was once controlled by the media too, so I get it, you know? So it's a big, there's a lot of angles to this, you know, and,
I mean, and most of the people don't want to even if they know it's not going to work, even if you present them with the evidence or the papers, they're still going to wear it, because
yeah,
it's just like, you know, that blanket that's going to protect you kind of a thing.
Yeah, I know, right? It's so I like your idea. I think that's a really cool idea. I think Dr. Bergman would be pretty fired up. The question is, could we roll this out? Actually, we could, because this is going to be going on. I think they're going to kick the can down the road until the fall. Then they're going to really lay on the propaganda more come flu season. So I think he'll be pretty fired up about this.
Yeah. I mean, right now the news is different, right? At least here, I just got a new apartment complex thing.
Sorry, what did you say? You cut out for a sec there. What did you say?
I said it's less coronavirus news now because of that incident. So now it's taken over. That has taken over.
Right.
So right now, I mean, this morning we got an email that there's a curfew in Irving for a week from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. So you can't go out.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. I mean, I think Dallas had it. Couple of days, I think, still continues, and Irving has it
from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m.
Yeah.
What happens if you work like a night shift job or something?
I mean, it's like if you have, it's say, I mean, there's no detail, but I think if you are going to work or you are in emergency services, but anything else.
Wow. So you probably, if you get pulled over, you have to show that what you're doing, or
yeah.
My goodness, man. That's crazy.
It's just organ. Yeah. I mean, and the funny thing is, as we discussed yesterday, the same thing was happening in India before the coronavirus. So for me, it was like, oh, now it's happening here. Okay.
Wow. Just
it's
more
like
the
they
same.
Take an incident. In India, it was not even an incident. They just misinform people that something is going to happen, and then the rioting and the looting started. And here there was an incident, and now it has taken a turn into like the same thing, basically.
Wow.
And the reason was just to basically destabilize the country or whatever, whoever, I don't know who does it, but it's just to destabilize.
Right. Yeah, it's a whole rabbit trail going down. Why, right?
I mean, the why is basically whoever does not like the country will pinch in and like, okay, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's destabilize them. And
yeah. Hey, what does your wife think about sort of these alternative ideas?
She's on board, because growing up in India, everybody is like, for us, alternative is the modern medicine, right?
Right.
So, for most of the people, if they don't, they would listen to the doctor. If it does not work, they'll try either homeopath or Ayurvedic. So.
Right, right.
And it's like, as I told before, it's part of the culture. So it's like the first thing they would go is to the natural way. And then if it does not work.
That's so interesting. It's so cool how the alternative medicine in India is just modern medicine. That's so the way it should be.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't blame like the allopath doctors as well, because most of the people would want a quick fix,
mm-hmm.
and so they do go. But more if they want to change, I mean, most of the people don't want to take medicine. At least that's what I have got from living there. Most of you like, I don't want a medicine. Even if they go to a doctor, they're like, I don't want a medicine.
Right.
Tell me what it is and then I'll fix it myself.
Wow, but that's interesting. It's just sort of imbued into the culture, huh?
Yeah. So it's like you're like grown up like that. So your mindset is a little bit different, right? Like here, everybody's scared of viruses and bacteria. Over there, it's like the more you expose, the more strong you're going to become.
Mm-hmm.
So... which actually I think I have here also now, whenever I talk to the doctor, at least like he's sick, my son is sick, we call, like after 3 days, we call the nurse online mm-hmm. or over the phone. And she generally recommends let it run the course. So I do see changes here also.
That's good.
Like, unless if you go to them, they would say that, no, you need antibiotic or what.
Right.
Like they'll run or like steroids or whatever. But
right. Right.
But over the phone, mostly here also, they say that let it run the course.
Well, that's a step in the right direction. Letting the body do what it's naturally designed to do is to be able to detoxify on its own rather than using an antibiotic. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. And yesterday, you think you asked, that what am I doing regarding the health? So I was thinking about it because I don't really do. I like follow like. I mean, we do some things like at the change of season. Uh-huh. I think you donate blood. We do fast for 9 days, every season change. And even if you can't do every season change, you can do like the main ones are during from when it goes from winter to summer.
Right.
And then the other one is summer to winter.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday I was thinking and I realized that, you know, my goal is to get off anything, which is, I mean, I don't take meds, but I do take some supplements, right?
Uh-huh.
Goal is to get rid, so that I don't have to take any supplements, basically. And then
nice.
Can just eat food and be healthy.
That's it right there.
Yeah. But then...
What supplements are you taking?
I mean, some in winters I take vitamin D, and sometimes I take B12. Depending on, like, I do take some probiotics, some here and there, but then I was like, I don't want to even take probiotics. I just want to include it in my diet, so I don't have to, because although they claim that, that okay, it's the whatever fermented food you eat, the bacteria is not going to last outside of your stomach. It's not cannot go, but I don't think that. I think there is something, because I think if you eat, I read somewhere that if you eat asparagus, it will go till the end because it survives in the fibers of the asparagus. So the bacteria would go survive the stomach acid, and then it would go to the small intestines and even to the large intestines.
Yeah, that's what that's the kind of claim is what people do with spore-based probiotics, is that it'll survive stomach acid. But, I'm with you. I think that if we can get it from food, if we can get all this stuff from food, this is what essentially we're designed to do anyway. And so there's other supplements that make sense, like maybe digestive enzymes or something like that. But you know what, like you were saying before, a digestive enzyme, I feel like it's one of those things where it's for people who live in America or Western world that eats really, really heavy food in bad combinations in a really rushed manner. And if you were to just chew your food like you do, and I do now, is chew your food and eat it in a meditative way, I don't feel like you would need digestive enzymes. I mean, maybe they would help, but I feel like it's a band-aid for our lifestyle,
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you, I mean, for people who would still want to eat, have like an, who want to eat unhealthy and they don't want to change, I mean, it would be like a good alternative for them. But and that's your life. That's how you want to eat. That's up to you. But you can still be a little bit more healthier. I mean, and healthy is like a definition very subjective to a person, right? What is healthy? For me, it'd be like just eating food and living whatever I want to do to the fullest capability. Like, if I'm working out, I don't want to be like, oh, you know what? After working out, I don't have any energy, or it's taking me like 10 days to recover. Right? So it's like working out itself is like so taxing.
Right, I know, right? I mean, for me, I've thought about this. What does it mean to be healthy? Like, what does that actually mean? I've thought about this a lot, and it seems to me that we could really like cut out a lot of going to the doctor and searching for things that are wrong with us, because healthy means to me, do I have enough energy when I wake up? Do I fall asleep and sleep soundly every night? Do I have a sex drive? Do I have good digestion? These are all things that are super simple, that if you're pooping two, three, four times a day, you have a good sex drive, you sleep really great, you have energy when you wake up. I mean, these are some basic things that I think we could all say and ask ourselves, do we display this level of health? And if we do, then we're healthy. But it's not really necessarily a number on a blood test. You know what I mean? It's how you're feeling and how you're interacting with the world. And I think it's much deeper than that,
And I mean, the other thing I started in the lockdown is working on my mind instead of the body. And so that even if I, like, if there is a situation where I have to eat a pizza, or like I would want to enjoy eating it and still have it not be part of me, right? Which doctor, I mean, with Bruce Lipton talks about, which is like, even if you eat poison and your state of mind is right, it's not going to affect you, right? Your perception of the food. But I
Yeah,
still have questions on that, so I guess.
that to me is one of the biggest things. I think you're so on it with that, because if you know who you are and you have a strength of character and you know where you're going and what your purpose is, and you know truly deep down who you are, and you have a strong mental mindset along with programming your subconscious mind with good information and positive uplifting information, to me, that's 90% of the name of the game. Because I get people that write into our radio show and the call up, and I can sense through their languaging really quickly what kind of mindset they have. And it's one of dependence. It's one of feeling broken down and tired and being a victim and all of these things. And so I think that what you're doing is what we should all be doing, is working on strengthening our character. And that, unfortunately, is the kind of work that most people don't want to do. They don't want to do personal growth work or spiritual work. They don't, it's too hard. It's easy to stay busy and just take your medication and watch TV and eat your pizza, you know? So right. I applaud you for that. That's cool. What kinds of things are you doing to work on that? Anything in particular?
We've been told to do meditations, right? To wake up, like do the rising sun meditation and all that. But after a while, I just stopped it. And then, so now I'm just starting it back again. It's basically going into, I think it's called guided meditation here.
Mm-hmm.
But just because it's just some of the questions. Basically, I have so many questions, right? And I don't want to answer. And mostly in our culture, it's told that whatever, if you know what is inside, you would know what is outside.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the same, right? Uh-huh. The cell and every, if you know the workings of how you work or how cell work and how the, you would know the universe. Because I mean, obviously, everybody had the same idea a long time back, and the only thing that they could do is to understand who they were, right? They can't just go everywhere and figure out what everything else is.
Right, right, right.
The only choice they had was to either change them or know who they were, right? That's the only power they had. So the simplest way, right? It's the thing, right? If I want to do something, I can do it on me instead of telling some, like wasting an energy to just first explain it to them and then they doing it,
right?
Instead, I can just be my own petri dish basically,
mm-hmm.
and then just do it. So we do the rising sun meditation, we have a mantra that we do chant and then just repeat it in our hand, which is basically most of it is related to the sun. So we just do that and being somehow more in a situation, and you would know how it works. The simplest would be that if it's working or not is that the way your behavior would be in a situation which was tense before, and you would be like frustrated, but now you are not as frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So that is like the easiest way to find out that it's working, right?
Yeah, you see how you respond in triggered situations, right? That's the name of the game right there.
So that would be like if the vitamin is working, so if the meditation is working, you would react very differently or you won't be as excited. So that's the only, because before that it was just too hard. I mean, you don't even think about it. You're just in your life, busy, working. Yeah. Go to your job, eat food, and that's all, right? But I think one good thing in this lockdown is that you can think what you are doing, right?
You know what, too? It's funny because I think part of the psychological manipulation that's going on with this lockdown is creating all this division, you know, with people wearing masks, people believing in the virus or believing in the government and not, and this conflict between the two. And for me, one of the biggest things that I've kind of connected to is the idea that we're all the same. You know what I mean? We all share one sort of consciousness that's all the same and similar, just being expressed in different ways. And allowing people to have their belief systems and realizing that, like, for like you and me, like, we know mentally that we are not our opinions, right? Our opinions change all the time, but somehow we're beyond that. We're deeper than that. And we're not our belief systems, and we're not our body, and we get that. But sometimes you kind of fall into the trap, or at least I do, of pinning that same kind of idea on other people and saying, oh, well, my brother, my sister, my parents, they believe in all this stuff that I don't believe in, like this whole virus thing and pandemic stuff. And there's this conflict. But then also applying that mindset to them and moving it off yourself and realizing that I'm much more than these things, but then giving people grace to say, you know what, they are not their opinions either. And let's find a common ground of spiritual connection that connects with them in the way we used to, and let them have their belief system about whatever it is. You know, for all I know, we could be totally wrong on this. Maybe there is a virus. I don't know. I mean, I don't think anyone...
That's what I was like. We don't know whether it is. So it's just too...
Yeah.
You can't just be like... It's just so it's better to just work on yourself is what I have learned, like, instead of...
Yeah, I know. And being less triggered by things and realizing that we're not our opinions and allowing that sort of mindset to bleed off into other people too, and giving them that grace to grow and change themselves, you know?
Right. Because, I mean, in the stages in yoga, the stage of meditation, where there is a stage where you cannot, basically yourself not being your body, but everything around you. And you can actually experience that, not just like, if somebody told you that's what you are, because how do I know? Maybe it's not the truth, right? So, but maybe that's the path you choose, and then you can feel that yourself is not just your body, right? And it's just everybody around you also. It's yourself.
Yeah, it's a challenge to figure out all these different layers and then figure out how we fit into that, and then figuring out a way to move throughout the world that allows us to grow in this way and give other people grace. But also at the same time, I hate to use the word fighting, but standing up for what we believe to be true, because also we want to stand up for our rights and make sure those aren't taken away, and doing so in a humble and strong manner. This is a delicate dance that, you know, human beings haven't been through. Yeah. We don't know how to do this, you know?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, you can't be like, I mean, basically it's a state where what I'm talking about is very far reachable, I guess, where even if your enemy comes to you, then you'll be like, you know, we are the same thing. But, if somebody is going to harm you, it's just your instinct to be like, you know what?
To fight back, I guess.
Yeah, fight back. Can't be like just sitting there and like, okay, kill me.
Yeah, right. So there's this weird kind of balance that it's like we're all thrown into this bizarre soup without any tools. It's like we're put on a construction site and no human being has the blueprint or the tools to be able to deal with the task that's at hand. And that task in the face of this coronavirus is to be able to take care of your family, to move through this with grace and charm, and to grow and to make a better society and to be connecting with others. That's our task. And for people that don't do any kind of spiritual work, we're all just kind of running around trying to figure out what the heck we're supposed to be doing, you know? And so we're in a bizarre time. But I think it's a time that we're getting many people waking up, and people like you and I are seeing the deeper potential of this to grow into, to move into a spiritual state, you know?
Right. Kind of like self-introspection.
Uh-huh.
Like what were you doing before this? What do you want to do after this?
It's kind of a weird thing, because from a karmic perspective, it's like we chose to come into this incarnation. I don't know how old you are, but I'm about 45, 44, 45, I forget. But, you know, it's somehow we came into this world knowing that this was going to happen. This was going to be a part of our lives, you know? And so we are the ones we've been waiting for, like they say, you know?
Yeah.
somehow we're here, right? So we must be here for a reason.
Yeah. Sometimes it I guess feel like I mean it's like our choosing. We wanted to be here in this time so that quicker, because like in Indian tradition there's like four periods. Uh-huh. And this period is basically the period where people, like a lot of bad stuff happens and with the nature. But the good thing with the period, this period, is that if you want to be on the right path, it's just quick.
What did you say? You cut out right then. If you want to be on the right path,
then this period is the easiest to achieve the ultimate in our culture. It's liberation, basically. Mm-hmm. Liberation from suffering and happiness and suffering. And yeah, so this period is the easiest because there's so bad happening, so a little bit good goes far. Mm-hmm. Is what it means. So
that's so it's a good way to put it, because like our reality is so dense, and without that sort of density in our sort of incarnation here, without this dense material body and these corporeal meat suits we have and we move throughout the world with, without that, there is no real growth, right? I mean, like you can't tell a spirit, you know, or a ghost, you can't tell them. You know, a ghost would never know what it feels like to be punched in the face and have to forgive someone for that, right? Because they're a spirit. Right. So for us living in this dense reality, it's the only place for spiritual growth, right? I mean, this is it. This is, yeah, we're here.
And this period being the best of it, because you can achieve, you can grow yourself much quicker. Then it's like in a period where everybody is doing righteous things, right? And if you're thinking bad, that means there's something wrong with you, not like the environment. So it'll be much harder to achieve the same thing in that period than being in this time.
Right. That's so true. I was listening to something recently where someone was saying one of the most damaging things that we do with our language is using the word they, like them and they, because it creates an instantaneous separation from somebody. And then on top of that, it creates a situation in your mind where you're putting somebody down because they're doing what they're doing and I'm doing what I'm doing. And if we can get rid of that word, they, that simple word, they or them, and realizing they're us, and let's forgive each other. And, you know, that's a powerful concept. I haven't quite mastered that one, not even close.
Yeah, it's the same thing as, right, saying neuro-linguistic programming, right? So instead of saying something negative, just make it positive. Like that's the other thing that I've started practicing again, is like even if I don't believe in it, I just say it first. So it's like if I say, oh, I can't do that, I can do it, even if I don't believe in it, that I can do it, I just say I can do it. Oh man, I can do it. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Instead of saying I can't, I just removed it.
Yeah, too. We've been doing that, my wife and I, for we've been more conscious of that with our twins. You know, they're two, and so we're conscious of the language that we use. And you know, we never say things like, "Oh, we can't afford that" or whatever. We just say, "Okay, how can we afford this?" Like, let's open up our minds. Let's put something, you know, together that allows for some creativity instead of shutting something off, like saying, "I can't do that" or "I can't afford that" or, you know, and so. Allowing the mind to have that creativity is what it wants, and to figure things out. That's what humans like to do, you know? And so it's you know, trying to be aware of our language. It's challenging, right?
Yeah, it is, because you're so used to it that sometimes you don't even, like, unconsciously, you're just saying something and you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it's so important to be conscious all the time, so that you know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just so used to it.
Yeah, it's definitely been a programming through media and things, and other people, and just how people speak, you know, and I, like we were saying, I mean, you can't blame people because, you know, if you and I didn't do any kind of extra work, either physically, spiritually or emotionally, if we just kind of did what everyone else did, we would be those people. So it's not like we're any better than them.
Right.
But we're just happen to do things a little bit different. So taking the blame out of like, they're going to come and vaccinate us, or they're going to create ID 2020, or they're doing this to me. And, you know, I think it's really dangerous way to think. And I think that, are you familiar with Cartman's drama triangle?
No, what is it?
It's really interesting. So I've shared this on our radio show before, and it's one of the most powerful things that I've heard. It's developed by, is it Sigmund Freud, I think? But he talks about there's three energy fields that people spend their entire lives in. Three energy fields, and that is the victim, the helper, and the perpetrator. And we spend our lives in this whole, in these energy fields. And let me write this down real quick. And it's the victim, the perpetrator, and the helper. And he was saying, he was kind of extrapolating off that a little bit. And you can see people sort of spending the majority of their lives in one of those three places, but we can move between the three of them. And you see this with people where they're the victim, you know, everything, woe is me, you know, everything's happens to me, you know, I can never get a break. All these bad things befall me. And then you have the helper energy, which is sometimes like us, right? We want to help other people. We want to help wake people up, help share some solutions with them that might help them. And that's one I fall into a lot. And then there's the perpetrator. And that's the person who is like Steve Jobs or these really cutthroat business people, or maybe these really crass comedians that live to their 102 years old. These guys that just kind of do what they want to do and just get out of my way. You know, nothing you say is going to stop me. I'm doing whatever I want to do. And these are the perpetrators, and their energy systems sometimes injure other people. And this person was surmising, saying, which person do you think has the strongest immune system? And you would think, oh, maybe the helper does, you know, or maybe the victim, but definitely not the perpetrator. But the perpetrator's immune system is the strongest, because their outside demeanor mimics the white blood cells and their immune functions in their body. And that's the kind of energy you want your immune system to have, that perpetrator seek and destroy kind of energy field. That's the kind of immune system you want. And you see this with people who have that energy field, like Warren Buffett, or these people that eat, you know, McDonald's and fast food all their life, and they're 96 years old and they're still going strong, yet they eat this horrible diet. Like, how is this happening? It's because they have that perpetrator energy, you know? And so what he was saying was that the idea is to move and turn that triangle into a pyramid and take that two-dimensional structure and turn it into a three-dimensional period where we become a fourth energy field. And that is the silent observer of all of them, and recognizing, okay, I've been trying to help someone where they don't need my help. I need to remove myself from that and allow them to have their process. I need to be a perpetrator in this instance, but not in this instance, and just kind of be a detached, silent observer of all of them and recognize what's going on and not be dominated or controlled by any one of those fields. And I just thought that was really an interesting, the victim, the helper, and the perpetrator. I thought,
yeah, really interesting. It's very interesting because kind of aligns with the old, like the old sayings in our culture, where you want to be not affected by, because I have been in places where I wanted to help somebody, and then I now realize that, you know, what they want to do, the only power you have to is to work on yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once you are in, I guess, in this triangle phase, would be perpetrator?
Oh, perpetrator, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe then you can help others, right? But at this point, you just so need to recognize what your powers are. Right? And that would be to just at least at this point, is to change, because I have tried to help people and then it kind of affect negatively on me.
Yeah, I know. It never works, right?
Right, it does not. So it's like my grandfather's old saying, he's always used to tell me a story that never give an advice to a person who does not seek it.
So true.
Because he used to tell me a story that there was a bird in the rainy season building her own house, like nest. Mm-hmm. And there was a monkey who was just jumping around. So she told that, you know what, why don't you also prepare yourself? And then it started raining. And then the bird said, see, if you would have prepared, then it won't have, you won't be in the rain now. Monkey got angry and destroyed the bird's nest. So it's like,
yeah,
it's so classic. Just don't give advice if nobody seeks it.
That's
it's just
so
hard for, at least it was hard for me, but now I learned it.
Are you still, I guess we'll always be presented with circumstances in which we'll need to relearn things or whatever, but in general, are you learning that these days to not give advice where people don't want it?
I mean, yeah, because I learned my lesson during that vaccination period.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, okay, because I did, I mean, first it was like deflecting things coming at you that, oh, you're not vaccinating this and that. And then it, after a while, it was like, then, you know, why don't you do it? And then, so see, at least look at the package inserts. At least just don't say, oh, it's safe and effective. Just at least make your decision based on the package inserts or the research that the companies provide. That would be like logical, and then you can make up your mind.
Right.
But they didn't want it to do that also. So like the doctors know, they say, then I used to tell them, you know what, if that's the case, sir, if something goes wrong, will you be responsible for it? Because that's the generally how it goes. If something goes wrong, then it's the responsibility of the surgeon. So ask the MD if that's the case, and they'll be like, no.
I know, right?
Because it's the manufacturer. Manufacturers have been, they are not responsible either. So.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so now I've learned. I mean, still I do, still I can't help, but I do give, you know what, these masks won't work. Coronavirus has been with us for a while, but it's now it's not like I don't tell them over and over. I just tell them if they listen, if it's fine, but now to affect, I mean, that's what I told in the beginning, in the first talk we had, right? To be selfish.
Yeah.
Like not affect, because if you want, you think that you're doing something good, right? Telling, but it's for the others, but it's not for others. You're doing good because it's not for anybody else.
What was the last thing you said? You're doing good because of what?
Because it makes you feel good, right? So it's for you. It's not right. Because it's going to help them, right?
Interesting.
So
yeah.
It's for you, not for them. So if something that you're doing for yourself, it's not affecting you negatively, then you should stop doing it. Right.
Now I'm curious, do you have a personal Facebook account?
I do, but I really log into it.
But really? I'm yeah. Curious, do you have a lot of friends that either through Facebook or Instagram or whatever social media, that don't see the world the way you do, and you share stuff with them, or do you keep this kind of stuff more private?
I mean, I do it more one-to-one instead of just putting posts on Facebook, because that would be just a post, and then I end up having like back and forth. I'm right versus they are right. So I just do it more like if I'm in person with somebody else and I feel like they're listening, then I would say, otherwise I just keep it to whatever experiences I have, right?
Yeah.
That's what you are just basically experiences in this life journey.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's a interesting sort of dichotomy, right? Because on our, I have a personal Facebook page, and I have a obviously an Extreme Health Radio and Extreme Health Academy Facebook page, and we post stuff there, obviously, you know. But on my personal page, I don't really share too much. Every now and then, I'll share, like, I don't really share that much at all. And but if you go back, like, maybe one out of every 10 things I do share might be something that would be, that would help wake people up a little bit. But I feel like there's a delicate balance with that, because you're kind of throwing up on people. You're kind of pushing your views down on people. And so you want to earn the right for them to listen to you as well. So if they're friends with you on that media, you know, you want to be friendly with them and then share something every now and then that will allow them to look, you know?
Right. But I do it only with, like, real, as I said, if it's just family or person who is, like, interested in it. I don't mm-hmm. do it because, I mean, I have most of the friends on Facebook, I have only met them, like, once or twice.
Yeah.
It's been
yeah.
10 years. Some of them are, like, I haven't talked to them. So it's, like...
it's kind of rude, right?
Like, it's like the first thing you are saying is, like, oh, you should... Because it's hard for everybody to, I mean, it's a normal reaction, right? If somebody, if you believe in something and you say that, you know what, or maybe you are looking in the wrong direction, mm-hmm. and people generally don't like it.
Right? No.
So it's just easier to work on you yourself than.
What kinds of things do you do to protect your mental and emotional space, like in terms of, like, defense, like protection? Do you, like, avoid watching TV, and, you know, what kinds of things do you not do to protect
yourself? I mean, for the first days, I actually read a lot of papers. So even now, even after reading the papers, if I look at the videos online, right, news and stuff, I don't look at as whatever they're saying. I'm like, try to figure out what's the motive behind it. Mm-hmm. Are they like with this whole situation, I actually wanted to see what they are trying to say. So most of them were like trying to scare you, put fear in you, right? And you can look at it, right? Otherwise, if they really, like, if they say that we are the government and then we are there for you, it's for the people, right? Then they should, I equate it with my parents, right? And if there's something in you go to your parents for advice, right? And if there's something, like, if I go to my mom and say I'm sick, what do? The first thing she says, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
This and that, and you'll be fine, right? If nothing works out, then we'll see what's going to happen. So I take it, like, based on the experience, and then I look at it, and then I try to analyze it instead of, like, trying to get affected from it.
Right.
And, I mean, subconsciously, you do get affected, is what I have seen. Like, even if you try to be objective or just observe it, subconsciously you do get that in your head, right? So after a while you do start. So as soon as I realize something is happening, I stop watching it, and I do, like, there's a technique that we are taught is whenever something bad comes, fight it with something good thought.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do, is, like, try to kind of be conscious about your thought, what you think. As soon as you have a negative thought, just try to fight it with the positive one. And it's like a constant battle. It's not going to be like they'll just stop after a while. So it'll be like, because you can't just shut yourself down from everything, right?
Right.
Well, you can kind of, if you don't want, you can go, that people have tried that, they would go in the mountains and live there. but I can't do that.
No way.
So that's what I do. And I feel like it's more easier this way because you kind of are like more, you can test yourself how good you are becoming or how worse you're getting. Uh-huh. And if you're getting worse, then you can seek for help from others.
Right? Yeah, I think it's kind of boiling down to just being consciously aware of the thoughts you're thinking, your reactions to people, to situations, to circumstances, and how you're sort of coming off to other people and your own reactions, and just being aware of that, I think is a huge step in just understanding that, because like you said, that, I mean, not a lot of people, it's just a reaction and they think that they are their reactions and they think that they are their opinions, and they don't even take stock of how they respond to things. And so the first step, in my opinion, is just being consciously aware of how things are affecting you. Do you feel fearful after you read this article, or do you feel empowered after leaving that doctor? Or, you know, do you feel like you can take on the world after, you know, listening to this video or something like that? If you don't feel those things, if you feel disempowered, recognizing that this is a mental programming that's changing how you perceive the world, you know? You know, so I think it's important to understand that.
And kind of, it's, I mean, with that, I mean, if I, I mean, obviously I do get some fearful sometimes, because it's like, it's at least with vaccinations everywhere, right?
I hear
you. To any visit you go to, they're going to recommend it. So you obviously have doubts, which I feel it's actually very good that you have doubt of things that you have read. That you shouldn't vaccinate. So I can't say that I don't want to vaccinate, because I'm always doubtful.
Right.
And so with that doubt, I try to find out more. Right. Well, yeah. Name that, are they saying the truth, or is there something else going on? So with that doubt, like, I kind of find all this different thing, and then that's how I found you guys.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Right. So just have doubt. Self-doubt is not bad.
You know what I've been kind of doing a little bit more is becoming like, you know, like that old saying, the devil is in the details.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know how people will say something like, well, they like Donald Trump because of this reason, or they like this particular way of political, you know, Republican or Democrat, you know, based on their philosophy and these types of things. Something I've been thinking about more recently is sort of picking apart people and philosophies into individual circumstances. So like, you could have a person where, like, there's some stuff. Are you familiar with Dr. V.A. Shiva, I think his name is?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a lot of people talking about how he has ownership interest in a pharmaceutical company, and he may be controlled opposition because he's got these ties to big pharma in some bizarre way, right? And so people are calling him a shill, or people are calling him disinformation. And so what I've been kind of trying to do lately is saying, you know, looking at each individual piece of information as its own standalone thing. So you could say to someone, like, let's say I'm a Republican and I love Donald Trump, say. And I could look at something he says and says, I don't agree with that thing. I don't agree with his philosophy on this. Or I do, but I think the problem with many people is they say that Donald Trump is part of this bigger picture that is Republicanism, which I love and I stand for. And so since he's in that circle, anything he says is going to be gospel or truth, or I'm going to defend him at any level, instead of looking at each and every individual thing and saying, okay, Donald Trump, let's say I love him and Republicanism, but he said 10 things today and I agree with 3 of them and I disagree with 7 of them. And that's okay to do that, because you're not saying that I don't like being a Republican or I don't like Donald Trump. You're individually seeking each thing out and analyzing them for what it is, versus just lumping everything into a big giant category and agreeing with whatever that category says, you know? So dissecting things a little bit further for me lately has been, I think, something really useful.
Yeah. And actually, when I came to here, it was a little difficult for me to understand at least the political part of the United States being Republican or Democrat, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, how can you, it's like a system. If you are born, you can't be born Republican or Democrat, but that's what it feels like, right? But it's like you decide based upon what the actions are and what they're saying, right?
Yeah.
You can't just be like, oh, I don't support. If there is somebody on the other end who is talking what I feel is the right way, I will support it. It can't be like, I can't.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, you take them based upon what they are saying and what they're doing instead of what the affiliation is. Or they could be like, you agree with five things they're saying and four things you don't agree with because you are your own individual.
I see this a lot. I'm sure you see it in India because just a human trait. It's like the Donald Trump is a perfect example on this because, you know, people, if they identify as a Republican and they love Donald Trump, they'll sort of defend anything he does and say that everything he says is right and all of this. And then, you know, the other side will do the same thing when you're showing them clear evidence that something is not right or something is not beneficial for the majority of the population. They just gloss over it. And they just, because they have these goggles on that don't allow them to look at the devil that's in the details and analyze each thing on its own, separate from politics, separate from anything, and agreeing and disagreeing based on each point, not the party that someone's in or the philosophy they represent, you know?
Because people change. Right.
Yeah.
And so you can't be like, oh, he belongs to this particular group and he's going to be the same. You change every day, so you can change anytime.
You know, a while ago, I was doing something cool with reprogramming your subconscious mind. This was really cool. I should get back to doing this, but I wrote down a series of affirmations. And let me write this down real quick. And I was doing these affirmations. So I wrote down like a bunch of positive mindset sort of affirmations, from finances to health to family to spiritual growth to relationships to success. And I came up with all these categories, and I came up with a bunch of different affirmations in each of those categories. And I wrote them all down, and then I recorded them into the computer, and I read them off in like a really strong, vibrant way with lots of emotion and energy behind it. And then I took that sound file and I made it really, really low so you could barely hear it. And then I put that as a backdrop to some really cool like meditation music, you know? And then I would listen to that music when I went to bed, and I couldn't hear my voice really because it was so low behind the music, but I would listen to that as I went to bed, and that allows you to get into that parasympathetic state where you're utilizing your subconscious mind a little bit as you're drifting off into sleep. And that was such a powerful thing. I got to see if I can refine that, but that's a cool way to, cause it's your own voice, right? And you're imbuing that into your system.
You can. I used to do that, but not in my voice. I used to just put like while I sleep, put it under the white noise.
Yeah.
So that I cannot hear it, but I can kind of. So, and it won't disturb me because the more of energy.
Yeah, and it's really cool because it's essentially just looping all night long. So all night long, you're sort of reprogramming your subconscious mind for success and health, you know?
Yeah, I've tried that. There's another one is like if you do that during the day, if you keep repeating that in your head during the day, like not doing anything, you can just repeat it. And then there'll be a stage where when you're asleep, you can actually hear it in your head.
No way. That's cool.
So it's like repetition. That's what mantra is, basically just those positive vibes. You're just repeating it. It's just neuro-linguistic programming. You're repeating after repeating.
I feel like it's so important because, you know, we spend so much of our lives, like I forget what the statistic was, but by the time a child is, I think 18, they've seen over 3 million commercials or some ungodly amounts of advertising. And, you know, not just that, but also just watching TV shows. There's just, there's an agenda and there's a narrative there that's programming our subconscious, whether it's subconscious or not. But I just feel like it's so important for us to grab a hold and protect our inner psyche and our spirit and not letting anything come in that doesn't support us, you know? And I think that we just fail to do that because we do it with food. We say, oh, I don't want to eat, you know, fast food or, you know, toxic food. But then at the same time, we're just watching things on television that are just programming our mind for degeneration and sickness, you know, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Basically, you just need to stop the modification of your mind. I'm just repeating what the original compiler of yoga said, to stop your modification. Because I think I touched it on one of the talks before where he initially it was just the mind yoga where it was more emphasis was given to your mind than your body. But then in the stages, after a while, people were so unhealthy, I guess, and they couldn't even sit for a longer duration of time. So then the whatever the current yoga is was introduced, which is called Hatha Yoga, which is just the yoga of the body. So in order to achieve the yoga of the mind, you need to first achieve the yoga of the body.
Interesting. So more for that philosophy, it's reprogramming or harnessing the power of the subconscious mind through the physical nature of the body then. It's going that direction. Interesting.
And that works for today also because right, because you need to first work on, you need to be in that state where you can actually work on your mind, right? But if you're not in the state where of your body, then you can't work on your, so you need to work on your body, basically going down from your body to your mind, because technically whatever you do obviously affects your mind, right? So
right through our nervous
your food system. Does your basically food may plays a major role because whatever you eat is has basically, they said that it has like three properties. One is it gives you energy. The other one is you poop out. And the other one is basically it changes your, it gives you. And then the third is basically create thoughts. And that is one of the reason why in India, you don't see a lot of, you see a lot of vegetarian because it's not nothing to do with morality, right? Food is nothing to it's like, because obviously plants also have life if you argue that way, right?
Right.
It's basically the simplest food that you can eat that does not affect your thought. That's why you do it. It's
interesting.
And obviously, you won't eat, right? You don't eat your kids, right? Because there's an emotional attachment.
Right.
You don't eat other humans, right? You don't eat your same species. It's the same way. That's one of the reasons. But the main reason is that you would want to eat something that is simple and that does not affect your thought. If a life has an emotion, obviously it's an energy and it's going to affect you also, right? And it has a very important role in, I don't know how much you can prove it, but they say that if the whatever you're consuming had like very traumatic emotions throughout their life, right, that kind of manifests, that trauma manifests itself in the physical form in the body, and then you basically digest that and it becomes part of you. So that's how you start thinking also. So that's one of the reason you want to eat something that are very less emotions, right?
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense, you know, because whatever we consume is basically energy, you know, like.
It's basically sun's energy, right?
Yeah, it's photonic energy. And a repository of fruit or vegetable is carrying photons from the sun. And the same way, you know, if you eat an animal that's been poorly treated, then you are going to consume some of that negative energy. And I definitely agree with that. It's
basically petri dishes, right? Like Bruce Lipton says, petri dishes. And each petri dish decides what they want to be. Mm-hmm. With the same cells, right? Some stem cells turns to muscle, some to fat. So it's your petri dish, and you are the petri dish. So, mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons why. Because when I came here, a lot of people would ask me the question, like, why are you vegetarian?
Yeah.
How do you get your protein? That was a little bit weird because, like, we never saw the food as like protein, carbohydrates, or.
Yeah. Like,
the three main major things: food, fat, carbohydrate, the food.
Right.
It's just food, right? Because there are 10 million things that are there that we don't know about, right?
Yeah.
You can't just say that it's protein, fats, and
yeah.
And the way we think, if you think that way, then when you eat it right, you don't think about the other things that are there, right? Now everybody knows about micronutrients. So they were like, I was reading about the China study a long time back, right? And Dr. Bernard said we have studied about like how a particular vegetable or something has what micronutrients or nutrients in it, right? But we don't know what happens when you mix them, two things. There's so much things going on that it's step to find what's going on. So instead of just thinking it as proteins, fats, and carbohydrates, just think about putting it in your mouth and then think about that I'll get energy. Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things going on. Like you said, we don't even know what's in food. And the micronutrient thing is a relatively new thing because, like you said, it was all about macronutrients, at least in the West, protein, fat, carbohydrates. But when you look at food as a repository of energy, it opens up a can of worms into a whole different world that people don't understand, and they don't fully understand what's going on when you eat. And then on top of that, you have our ever-changing environment, right? Where people are living in an altered environment that's completely disconnected from nature. So you apply these two principles where people aren't living correctly tied to nature, along with a dietary philosophy that adheres to this idea that it's protein, fat, or carbohydrates, and there's nothing more to it. There's so much happening, and the dynamic between your gut bacteria and all of these things that are supposed to be happening, you know, and that's why I think I tell a lot of people, so many people that write into our show and things, they'll ask what kind of diet is best, you know, and I say, I always try to redirect people inward to themselves because there's so many experts saying this diet is best, that diet is best. But if you were to do what you do, and just consume some food, not too much, in moderation, chew it in a humble, meditative way, and try to make a meditation out of it and being grateful for it. I honestly don't think that there's much you can eat that wouldn't affect you. I think at that point, it comes down to much more than food and your, you know what I mean? And I think there's...
Yeah, and I think they ask that I have done it before. Right, I have thought about whether what I'm eating is, because as you said, right, it's the media, whatever you see everywhere, you want, there's like an image, or there's a new diet which will help you achieve that,
right?
But then I was like, I don't want to be a model, right?
Right.
But if I wanted to be a model, I would do something like that,
Right.
But so it's basically, as you said, you just need to go deep down in you and see what you want to be, right? What do you want to do? And then food is just a way, as it just deals with that health thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I can achieve whatever I want to achieve with this food, I'm fine, right? Yeah. I don't want to be like, try 10 different diets,
yeah,
and yeah, different nutrients. I just want to be healthy enough so that I can like achieve what I want to achieve, right? If my goal is to be a Olympian, like a, then I want to do the, be in that same path. But other side is that, that does not mean that, you know what, I can just put whatever in my mouth, right? I can just junk food or whatever. I mean, I don't consider that food either. Dead food.
Right.
Dead food.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because a lot of people say to me, like, they want to know what kind of diet to eat, you know, and I tell them to look inward and what are your goals and who do you want to be, and picking a diet that supports that, you know. And you know, like you said, if you want to be an Olympic lifter and a heavyweight sort of champion, then you got to eat the foods that those people eat. But if you want to live a long time and be disease free and healthy and have energy, then you got to eat maybe something different, you know. But it's really important for people to first stop and figure out what your goals are. And unfortunately, I see this a lot, is people's goals are, they have a unified goal. And that's one goal of one thing. And it's typically always sort of applies to some physical characteristic, like, I have one goal. I want to eat so that I'll look skinny or I'll lose some weight, you know? And there's such a problem with that, because if people have that kind of mindset, then what happens when you achieve that magical weight that you want to get to? Then what do? And then you see these same people, as soon as they achieve that magical weight, they're just eating whatever. So like for me, it comes down to where are you going in life? You know, what food will support your mission? Do you want to be here a long time? And if you do, figure out the longevity piece. If you want to put on 50 pounds of muscle, then feed the food that feeds that mission, or eat the food that feeds that mission, you know? But most people just don't really think about the deeper aspects of food is just here as a tool. It's the ultimate it's the ultimate self-development tool, because it's a daily discipline. I mean, what other thing do you do besides breathing and drinking? It's maybe sleeping.
It's more, that's what I feel sometimes. It's like animals do so much better job than we, right?
I know.
We think that, oh, you know what? We are like the most supreme species, so much brain, and still we have not figured, we cannot decide like whether this is good or that's good, right?
I know, we don't even know what to eat, right?
Right. So how can you compare yourself like to even... Sometimes that's what I feel. It's like, so it's like how far down we have gone.
I know.
Like we can't decide on what to eat. It's like, what? Right.
How do we get like, here, right?
Yeah, it's like, we don't know how to eat. We don't know how to drink. We don't know how to behave. It's so easier than like all the other animals. They're like living. They know what to eat. They don't question whether that's my food or not. They just eat what they think is right for them.
I know. And they know. They have a deep knowing, right?
It's like, just so. And so one of my thing is like, I want to eat at least good so that I can live longer. So I can, because I haven't figured out what to, right? So I have some time.
Yeah, exactly.
After I figured out what it is, what I'm supposed to do, that I have some time to achieve that, right?
Yeah.
And right now is just right, what am I here for, what should I do, just questions, right? So once I figure out that, it's not like once I figure out your body is not good enough to achieve that, right?
Yeah,
at least have that taken care of.
Yeah, and figuring that out and doing the deep work of who am I, where am I going, what's my mission, why am I here, where did I come from? Figuring all that stuff out and working on that. And then once you have that direction sort of mapped out for yourself, then you can figure out, okay, what friends are helping me get there? What food is helping me get there? What music what lifestyle, what environment is helping me get there. And then you can kind of base everything based on a, or base all your decisions on a deep knowing that people, like if you truly know who you are and understand your place and why you're here, when someone, like, for example, if you're in high school and someone offers you drugs, you know, or something like that, most kids and adults in general don't even know who they are. They're open to anything and suggestion. And but if you have a deep knowing, like, for example, if someone is knows that they are on the path to becoming a professional football player or a professional sports star, and they're in high school, well, they're not going to take drugs because they're going to think, well, if I do drugs, it's going to get me off my path. Like, I'm destined to be an NBA superstar. Like, I can't do that. And so you would hope that most people would have a clear knowing of the direction they're going. And so you say, no, I'm not the kind of person that does that because I'm on a mission to go this way. And so I feel like we need more of that in our culture, more people doing the little deeper work, you know?
Yeah. Or, I mean, even if you go in that path, just question. I mean, questioning is one of the things, or just be doubtful. Why?
Mm-hmm.
What? Because, I mean, in our culture, at least how we were born, alcohol was not part of the environment, right? And obviously, when you go to school or high school or college, everybody tries to, like, put you through, like, why don't you try it? And it wasn't that much as bad as when I came here. It was, like, more, like, oh, you don't drink? Why? And really? So, like, why do you drink? What is your reasoning behind it?
Yeah.
And for a while I was, I used to think about, like, what is it? I mean, one of the things, is it harmful? But then there's research which says it's not. But then there's research which says how. But then I came to an article and it said that the body treats alcohol the same way. As soon as it goes in your stomach, it, instead of going to the digestive tract, it goes to the bloodstreams so that the liver can digest it, right? And that's how it treats poison also. So, I mean, I really don't have to look at any research now. It's like, it's just, I mean, if the body treats it as poison, you can say whatever you want to say. If it's good, it has this nutrient, that nutrient, like,
right,
it does not matter.
Yeah, and why would you knowingly, willingly poison yourself?
I mean, some people would want to. I mean, maybe just to get an experience to see, I mean, whether it's good for how you feel, I guess, after that. So it's different for different people. How some people just want to test it out to see how it feels. That's how everybody does it, right? Peer pressure is like, oh, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
You just want to enjoy your life till you're young.
right.
But the thing is that you can be young for a longer time, right? You're actually shortening your young period for...
Right.
That's what I used to think. I can be young for a longer duration, right?
Yeah, right.
And if I want to enjoy it, I can enjoy it at the end of it.
Yeah, I know. That makes sense. Hey, have you tried jumping on at different times during the day? Has there been?
I did, but it's I didn't find anybody on. I tried generally after 4.
Okay.
And during after 7, but I didn't see anybody.
Yeah.
So, and I think if we have like a time slot,
mm-hmm.
has to be like. People can just be in that time period.
Yeah, that's why we're trying to stick to 10 a.m. Pacific. And so, yeah, it's challenging for me because I'm leaving sometimes screaming and crying twins, you know. And so it's like today I left the house to be here like 10 minutes late, you know. And but generally I'm here right around 10. That's the goal. So, dude, it's super cool to connect with you today. Like, it was
Did you
cool.
look at that study for the vaccine that came out?
No, what study? Did you send it?
Here.
Uh-oh, let's see. Let me go to chat. Wait a second. Did you send this the other day or no? Analysis of health outcomes in vaccinated and unvaccinated children, developmental delays, asthma, ear infection. Oh my goodness. Who did this study? Oh, Neil Miller.
Yeah, it's the unvaxxed guy.
Whoa, is this the first? He has a good book out, this guy. Oh, wow. Okay, thanks for sending me this. I'm going to read this. Wow. The results, conclusion. And this study, which only allowed for the calculation of unjusted observational associations, higher ORs were observed within the vaccinated versus unvaccinated group for developmental delays, asthma, and ear infections. Further study is necessary to understand the full spectrum of the health effects associated. Oh my goodness. Yeah, we should have this guy on our radio show, Neil Miller. He's written quite a few books on vaccines.
Yeah, just for our, at least from like knowledge purpose. Because while reading it through, I was like, people on the other side would be like, you know what, at least it's just ear infection, right?
Yeah, right.
It's like, what, just some developmental delays? What? It's
just better, random, right?
Yeah, it's better than dying. It's not better than dying. Yeah. You can die from measles. So.
Well, thanks for sending this to me. I'm gonna keep this and possibly feature it on our radio show. This is great. Thank you.
And I think one more thing in the last time I said wrong was the name of the cow was Boss Indicus instead of, I think I said something called Indus Bonicus or something.
Oh, how do you spell it?
Hold on, let me just Google it to get there.
It's a type of cow or a species of cow?
It's Boss Indicus. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Ah, okay. Boss Indicus. Okay. Now tell me how, again, you actually pronounce your name. I keep forgetting how to pronounce it.
It's the above.
Like, okay. That's how it sounds phonetically, way, way above.
Similar to that. It's way above, but it's, way if above. You say way above fast, it's kind of
way. Okay, cool. I'm gonna try to remember that because it's difficult for us Westerners to
that's what somebody told. I didn't came up with this, but somebody else told me that's what it sounds like. I was like, okay, yeah, that's it.
That's great.
But they told me the surname sounds like a Panera, so they say they just put an I instead of a Panera bread, they just put I.
So right, yeah. Well, awesome. It was super fun to chat with you and connect with you more. This was super fun. Thanks for joining us today or coming on. That was awesome.
Yeah. Cool.
Nice. Well, I will, I'll see you maybe tomorrow. If not, some other time, but I'm going to try to be here Monday through Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific. So maybe I'll catch you some other time too.
Yeah. Are we going to have any more courses that go into like physiology and anatomy?
Yeah, so I've written Dr. Bergman about an anatomy course, and now I'm going to write him about a viral course. I think this would be really an awesome thing for him. I think he would really love to do it. We'll see. And I think an anatomy course.
The videos from Michael,
his son,
Michael Bergman. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I think those are those go a little more detail into anatomy.
Yeah. So
I think the only difference is that he uses slides and then he points out things.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk to Dr. Bergman about the viral course too. And I think that would be really cool to have an anatomy course. I think that would be super awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Understand how the body works, right?
Yeah.
All right, way above. I will see you tomorrow or some other time.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.